Welcome to another message presented by Wes Ward of Wild West Ministries. As a former PRCA cowboy, Wes excelled in the rodeo arena and is now pursuing his calling to share God's word that has literally transformed his life. As someone who has a heart to passionately pursue God in his daily life, his desire is to help others do so as well. The focus of his ministry is to bring people closer to God by living in and through the truths of God's Word. May you be blessed by the message from the Word of God that Wes has to share with you today.
Howdy, friends. I'm Wes Ward of Wild West Ministries. I got a word from the Lord I'd like to share with you today. I want to call this message Words of Authority, being able to stand on God's Word. You know, if I walked around and asked each one of you, why did God send the Son of Man, Jesus? Some of you might say, to save us. Some of you might even say, to teach us. Others might say, well, an example to live our life. Well, those are all very good answers. But we're going to look at a totally different aspect of it today, why God sent the Son of Man, Jesus. But in order to get the picture, we have to start over with the first book in the Bible, which I refer to as a manual for life. In the book of Genesis, Genesis 1:3 says, then God said, let there be light. And there was light. Words of authority. As we read here in Genesis 1:26, then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over all, or over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female. He created them. Verse 28. Then God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. See right there in verse 26 and verse 28 of the first chapter of Genesis, God says, have dominion over all things here on earth. Basically, he's telling us that you have authority over all things on here on earth. Over all the fish in the sea, over all the birds of the air, over all the cattle, and over all the earth. Everything. You have dominion. Which another word for dominion means authority. Words of authority. As we move down to chapter 2 in Genesis, verse 7, and it said, the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man become a living being. Verse 8 says, the Lord God planted a tree eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. Verse 9, and out of the ground the Lord God made every tree grow that is pleasant to the sight, and good for food. The tree of life was in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Now, friends, how would you like to be able to walk up to the tree of life and pick of its fruit and eat, gain a 10 years to your life? I mean, you've heard them talk about the fountain of youth. Well, I mean, there it is, the tree of life. Adam had it going on. Notice I said Adam. As we pick up down here in Genesis 2:15, Then the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and keep it. Verse 16, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat. Verse 17, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it you shall surely die. Words of authority. You will surely die if you eat of that fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Verse 18, and the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will have to make him a helper comparable to him. Now you see, the instructions, before I go too far, I want to cover this. The instructions were given to Adam. Where's Eve at? Eve's nowhere even around. Verse 17, let's go over it again, Genesis 2:17. But the tree of knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in that day you eat of it, you shall surely die. The instructions weren't even given to Eve. She's not there. You see, the first man, Adam, the instructions were given to him, but he didn't stand on God's word. As we read on here in verse 19, out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the air and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. And whatever Adam called each living creature, that was his name. I mean, this Adam, he had it going on, the first man. The Lord God put him in paradise, in the Garden of Eden. You can eat of every tree, just not this one tree. He says, I give you dominion. I give you authority over all things here on earth. Now God's sending all the animals by. Adam, what do you call this? Well, that looks like a giraffe. Or that's a hippo or rhinoceros. I mean, he had it going on. So Adam gave names to all the cattle, birds of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper comparable to him. Verse 21, and the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. Then the rib which the Lord God had formed, or Lord God had taken from the man, he made into a woman, and he brought her to the man. And Adam said, now this is very important for married people here. Listen to these words. These are words of authority. This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Verse 24, therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. Adam had it going on. He was in paradise, in the Garden of Eden. He could eat anywhere of any tree except for one tree. The Lord God had given him authority, dominion over all things on earth. He was the chief, the boss, the man, the first man. Then all of a sudden, God creates a woman for him, a helper. Let's look at chapter 3. First of all, I want to go to Luke 10:18. See, the Apostle John said in Revelation 21, for I saw a new heaven and a new earth. Because you see, sin originated in heaven by the cherub angel called Lucifer. A sin of called high treason. You see, he wasn't happy with being just a part of God's kingdom. He wanted to be the king. The Bible states that he was a beautiful morning, like called the morning star. He had it going on, but he wanted to be the king. Luke 10, let's look at Luke 10, verse 18. Luke 10, verse 18. Luke 10, verse 18. Now, Jesus is talking here. The Son of Man. Jesus talking here in Luke 10, 18. It's in red print in my King James Version Bible here. Jesus said, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. You see, this Lucifer, we now refer to him as the devil or Satan. He wanted to be God. Committed what they call high treason. Then all of a sudden, God creates this man. The first man, Adam. And here God hands Adam authority, dominion over all things. This is what Lucifer, Satan, wanted all along. What God had given Adam. See, there was a war. Lucifer and his demons were cast out of heaven. Jesus said in Luke 10, 18, I saw him fall like lightning from heaven. Fell here on earth. Then all of a sudden his whole demeanor changes. You know, the next time we see him in the Bible over here in Genesis 3, he's a serpent. Now this is where Eve's first mistake was. Talking to a snake to begin with. She had no business talking to a snake, a serpent. But see, that's the way we are a lot. We listen to counsel from snakes in our lives that we shouldn't even be listening to. We need to refuse it. Don't accept it. Move on. Chapter 3, verse 1 says, Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, Has God indeed said, You shall not eat of every tree of the garden? See, that's how the enemy works. He puts that doubt in us. He goes to trying to get us to doubt God's word, to steal the word from us. And the woman said to the serpent, We may eat of the tree. Or we may eat of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, You shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. Now, wait a minute, Eve. See, this is secondhand information. The instructions were given to Adam. Let's go back up here. Genesis 2:17, But the tree of knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in that day you eat of it, you shall surely die. I'm fixing to show you the first rumor here on earth. Go back to Genesis 3:3. But the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, Eve's talking here, God did say, You shall not eat, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. Now, God didn't say nothing about Adam not touching it. He just said, don't eat. But whenever it gets handed down to Eve and she's talking to the serpent here, the Satan, you shouldn't touch it or you shouldn't eat it. You see how things get twisted around, that secondhand information? God told Adam, don't eat of it. But now Eve says, we're not even supposed to touch it. Verse 4 says, Then the serpent said to the woman, You will not surely die. See, there he is putting that doubt. Verse 5 says, For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Now that right there ought to be enough for us. See, Eve she's got greed is in her as well. She wants to become God. Become like God. And You know, I can't understand why can't we just accept our role as being children of God instead of trying to be God. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, it was pleasant to the eyes. So the woman saw that the tree was good and that it was pleasant to the eyes. The eyes. See, a person that has a problem with overeating, they see food. Then this craving starts. Or a thief, he sees something that he thinks he needs or can make money on. Then his mind goes to churning. Or a person that has problems with sexual desires or whatever, sees a good-looking woman or a good-looking man, and all of a sudden their mind starts churning. So you got to refuse those thoughts. But your eyes play a major part in this. And the tree desirable to make one good wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her. Husband with her, and he ate. So Adam, he's standing right there with her. He is standing right there with her while the whole deception of the world is going down. I'm going to skip down here to Genesis 3, verse 8. And they heard this. Wait a minute. Let's go back to verse 7. Then the eyes of both of them were open, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. See, Adam, he didn't stand on God's word. Why, he should have took that fruit from Eve, and he said, and said, no, Eve, God said no. For in that day that we eat, we will certainly die. But he didn't. He stood right there and let the whole thing go down, and him knowing better. See, he didn't stand on God's word. And the authority and the dominion that God had just gave him, he turned right around and he handed it right to the enemy, Satan, who wanted it all along, right there in that garden. By just standing there and not standing on God's word is basically what it is. He did not stand on the word of God. The question is, are you willing to stand on God's word? Let's go on here, chapter 3, verse 8 in Genesis. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Verse 9, then the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, where are you? Verse 10, so Adam said, I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. Verse 11, and God said, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded that you should not eat? Verse 12, then Adam said, the woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I ate. There he is right there. Adam's putting it off on the woman. I mean, that's just like the world is today. When we do wrong, we want to try to blame somebody else for it. Adam had the instructions from God. Eve was getting secondhand information. She wasn't even made yet when the instructions were given about the fruit. And the Lord God said to the woman, what is this you have done? The woman said, the serpent deceived me, and I ate. Now, I've been deceived before. We've all been deceived. And, you know, I truly believe that God could have forgave Eve because the Bible said she was deceived. But basically, the man, the first man, Adam, did not stand on the word of God. I want to ask you something. Are you willing to stand on God's word as being the truth? Because we're fixing to look at some scriptures here, and it's very important that you either write these down or go back and mark them in your Bible, because these are pretty powerful. And I'd just like to pray before we go any further. Father God, we just come to you in that mighty name of Jesus. We worship you and we praise you, Father. We pray that your word will speak to us and let it minister to us today and open things up and things be revealed. And I just worship you and I praise you, and I pray that each and every person that will receive this message and that will receive what you have in store for them, that they may bring glory to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'd like to go to Matthew 4:10. What's happening here is Jesus has just been baptized. I think we need to pay really close attention to this. He's just been baptized in the Jordan River. The Holy Spirit has descended upon him like in the form of a dove. And led by the Holy Spirit, he goes into the desert to be tempted by Satan for 40 days. He's fasting, he's praying, and he's walking in the Spirit of God. So Satan is talking to Jesus here. In chapter 4, verse 10, then Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve." Do you see how Jesus is rebuking the enemy? Rebuking it. See, friends, it all starts with your thoughts. Your thoughts becomes your thinking. Your thinking becomes your action. Your action becomes your habits, and your habits become your character. So, but it all starts with your thoughts. It's whether you take those thoughts captive or not. And when those thoughts come into you and you know they're not from God, cast them down. Say, "Get behind me, Satan," or "I'm not going to receive that in Jesus' name." Cast it down. Don't even worry about it no more. But when you start meditating on it, then your mind starts working and the devil starts entering you more and more, and you start, things get twisting around, and then the plan comes together. Next thing you know, you really fell into sin. But Jesus, what caught my attention, he goes 40 days, he's fasting and he's praying to be tempted by Satan. See, he's in the wilderness. I've been in that wilderness mentality before. See, the wilderness, it's like going through a refiner's fire. These trials and tribulations that we go through in life, it only makes us stronger, and we learn from it. And I'm seeing here that I need to learn to fast more, because I've fasted before, and I can hear God's voice. You know, I can hear a word from the Lord. Matthew 16:23. Let's go to Matthew 16:23. Now, what's happening here? The Apostle Peter and Jesus are talking here. And Peter's saying, Jesus is talking about how he's fixing to go to the cross and how he's going to arise in 3 days. And Peter's saying, no, I'm not going to let that happen to you. I'm just not going to let it, you know. But Jesus is talking to Peter here, and he says, "Get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men." See, Jesus, he's refusing the enemy another time right there. I think you really need to pay really, really close attention to these scriptures, because Jesus is showing us something here. "Get behind me, Satan. You're an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men." So he's refusing the enemy again. Right here, let's go to Mark 9:29. And what's happening here on Mark is the Mount of Transfiguration there. Jesus led Peter, John, and James up on top of this mountain, and all of a sudden Jesus just become glorified, turned as bright as light, and then Elijah and Moses appeared there. And I just try to put myself up there. Man, it was a glorious event. But as they're coming down the mountain, the other apostles are trying to cast this evil spirit out of this young boy. And they can't do it. And Jesus walks up there and he says, "Where's your faith? You know, you have little faith." But in verse 29, pay very close attention to what he says here in Mark 9:29. So Jesus said to them, he's telling his apostles, this kind of spirit can only come out by nothing but prayer and fasting. The scripture says this kind can come out by nothing but prayer and fasting. I think that's very significant right there, prayer and fasting. Once again, words of authority, words of authority. I want to look right now. Let's take a look at Psalms 103:3. So my question is, the first man, Adam, he did not stand on the Word of God. Are you willing to stand on the Word of God? That's my question. Psalms 103:3. This is a pretty powerful scripture. Once again, it's going to be words of authority. 103:3. Who forgives all your iniquities? Who heals all your diseases? How many of them? Well, the scripture says all. Who forgives all your iniquities? Who heals all your diseases? Are you willing to stand on that word? Those scriptures, Psalms 103:3, as being the truth when trials and tribulations come. Mark 11:20. Actually, let's start in verse 22. Once again, these are words of authority. Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. Have faith in God. I'm going to tell you a little story in a minute, but right now I'm going to let you in on a secret. Fear is from the enemy. Fear. God works on faith. Mark 11:22. Have faith in God. Jesus goes on to say in verse 23, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Are you willing to stand on that? Now, I'm going to open up the rest of it here, because you got to take the scriptures in context. Read the verses before and after. Verse 24 says, therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. See, when you're praying, you got to believe it's coming your way. That's faith. But then whenever you have this fear that it's not going to happen, it ain't going to happen, because the enemy's done and took control of you. Verse 22, once again, have faith in God. Have faith in God. Now let's look at verse 25. Mark 11:25. And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. Whoa. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. See, verse 25 and 26 just those are the keys to verse 23 and 24. See, let me put it to you like this. We've been praying to God to do this certain thing, or for healing or whatever. God answered this prayer, but you're not seeing any results. So maybe you need to really start searching your heart and see if you have some unforgiveness or sin that could be blocking the answer to your prayer. Are you hearing me? I mean, here we are, we're asking God to do a favor, but yet we're holding a grudge against somebody else. It says right here in verse 25, and whenever you stand praying, if you have nothing against anyone, or if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. Forgiveness are the keys to the kingdom. I heard John Bevere speak one time, and I never will forget this. He said, if you cannot forgive, then you have forgotten the one who forgave you. He's talking about Jesus. You have forgot Jesus. Let's look at Isaiah 53:5. Once again, some words of authority. Isaiah 53:5. Oh, this is powerful words of authority. But he was wounded for our transgression. Now what this is the prophet Isaiah talking about the forecoming of Jesus. See, prophets prophesize about things to come. This is many years before Jesus has come. Verse 5, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed. Words of authority. Are you willing to stand on that scripture? Let's look at 2 Corinthians 12:9. 2 Corinthians 12:9. Once again, words of authority. Jesus talking here in 2 Corinthians 12:9. Or the Holy Spirit, actually. 2 Corinthians 12:9. Boy, and I tell you what, the other day, I was fasting at the start of the new year and praying, and sitting in church there, and all of a sudden, it's like God just slapped me upside the face. And I heard one word. It was strong inside me. Stand. Stand. And this message hadn't really all come together yet. But it makes all the sense in the world now. But 2 Corinthians 12:9 says, my grace is sufficient for you. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. The NIV says, my power is perfect in weakness. Are you willing to stand on that scripture? My grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Are you willing to stand on it? See, let me give an example. I knew this lady once, and a vessel of God. She's in the ministry. She married her first husband and was in a very abusive relationship. Physical abuse. I mean, a lot of control. She wasn't even able to go to the store by herself. She had 2 children and, you know, just like being in prison. No life whatsoever. And finally got out of it after 6 years. And I'm talking about a woman that loves the Lord and does the Lord's work. And then met her second husband, and he got saved and come to the Lord. And then all of a sudden, he fell into adultery. She ended up getting a divorce again for the second time. But now, when a man gets fairly close to her, she goes running the other way. Has a problem with commitment. Can't you see why? It's very easy. I mean, I can see it. Why she'd have a problem, for sure. But my question is she standing on these scriptures? Isaiah 53:5, by his wounds we are healed. 2 Corinthians 12:9, my grace is sufficient, my power is perfect in weakness. Is she standing on the scriptures? I'll give you a little story a little closer to home. Myself. I was 17 years old. My best friend and I, Lane Frost, we were going to the National High School Finals Rodeo in Yakima, Washington. me and Lane and both of her moms and Lane's younger brother Cody, we drove a car from Oklahoma all the way to Yakima, Washington. Now you talk about a road trip. And I mean, we were just two little cowboys dreaming of being champions. This was the biggest rodeo stage of our young career. And I had this girlfriend that I loved. And I wanted to take her with me, but we didn't have room in the car. And I'd give her a promise ring like a week or two before I left. And I mean, I was in love with her. And Lane and I, we went up there. We done really good. I won the second go-around in the bareback riding, and Lane won second in the bull riding. I got a plaque, and he got a nice belt buckle. And we were just tickled to death. And I mean, it was really good times. And when I got home, my girlfriend wasn't home. And somebody told me that she had went to a team roping with her brother. So I went up there. It wasn't very far from where I lived. And I caught her with another man. She was up there with another guy. She had hickeys on her neck and stuff. And naturally, we broke up. But all of a sudden, after that happened, I always had this spirit of my wife cheating on me. And I realized just about a couple weeks ago that I had never forgave that young lady for what she done to me whenever I was 17 years old. That was 31 years ago. And after two failed marriages of my own, you see, I carried that spirit of being cheated on. See, Job says in Job 3:25, "For the things I feared have come upon me. The things I dreaded have happened to me." See, the spirit of fear ain't from God. And I realized the things I feared, I had become. Did I stand on the scriptures, especially 2 Corinthians 12:9? "My grace is sufficient. My power is perfect in weakness." Did I stand on that word of God? No, I didn't even know the word of God. How can you stand on something you don't know? See, that's why it's very important that we stay in the Word. Because if you don't know the Word, you don't know God. Now, I'll give you two examples how Satan, the enemy, can spend our lifetime controlling us. Because we're not standing on the Scriptures. Not standing on the Word. Why did God send the Son of Man, Jesus? Why did He? Well, as I read John 8, the woman caught in adultery, Pharisees, the teachers of the law, they caught this woman right in the act of it. And they brought her to Jesus, and they said, "The law of Moses said, stone her. What do you say, Jesus?" My Lord, He just bent down, stooped down, started writing on the ground, and started writing in the dirt. He stood back up and He said, "One of you without sin, cast the first stone." Then He just stooped back down, and one by one, from the oldest to the youngest, they all left. He looked, turned around, He said, "Woman, where are your accusers?" She said, "Lord, there is none." He said, "Neither do I accuse you. But go and sin no more." As I read that story about Jesus stooping down, I realize that my Lord, Jesus Christ, stooped down to the lowest depths of the earth so that a person like me who was born in sin and have lived a sinful life may stand. Praise God. Now I want you to look now at Luke 10, 19 through 20. Luke 10:19-20. Behold, Jesus says here, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Amen. Is your name written in heaven? You know whether it is. You know whether you're being obedient to God. I mean, I can go down to the hotspot bar on Saturday night, walk in there and interview everybody in there, and I guarantee you 80% of the people in that bar room will say that they know Jesus and that they love Jesus. But if you love something, then why can you not follow it? Through His Word, through worship, through prayer, through tithing. But instead, we want to just chase the things of this world, which is just leading you to destruction. Oh, yeah, I love Jesus. Well, what, if you love Him, why ain't you following Him? But Jesus come to give us that authority back that the first man, Adam, handed Satan right in the garden. John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. And the Word was God. John 1:14 says, and the Word become flesh and dwelt among us here on earth. Praise God. I'm going to close with one word that has authority over all. The mighty name of Jesus. Jesus, word of authority. Friends, I hope that each and every one of you that are listening to this will be blessed and you'll get some revelation out of God's word, and that you too can become a vessel and let the Holy Spirit work through you so that we may all bring glory to our Heavenly Father. Thank you and God bless you.
This has been another message presented by Wes Ward of Wild West Ministries. Our prayer for you is that you've been helped through the Word of God that we were able to share with you today. The heart of Wild West Ministries is to bring people closer to God through His living Word. If you would like to contact Wes to find out more about his ministry, to receive more of his teachings, or if you're interested in having him as a guest speaker, you can contact him by phone at 903-249-1250. That's 903-249-1250. Or at 580-927-3007. That's 580-927-3007. Or you can email Wes at 3wward@gmail.com. That's 3wward@gmail.com. God bless you.